Jim McGovern is from the beautiful Massachusetts 2nd District. He's been in office since 1997, and he is one of the most outspoken members of the United States Congress, which I love, of course. Jim, let's talk a little bit about guns, gun reform, and the latest mass shooting, and whether or not things are dying down. Can the kids basically sustain this very inspirational movement of ours?
Well, I hope so. And they have been inspirational. And it's not just these young people from Florida. It's people all over the country. I've had young students from my district write me, call me. I mean, I've quoted them on the House floor. I've been so impressed with what they've written and their words. Look, it's their future. And they don't want a future where they have to worry about whether or not they're going to get shot if they go to school or if they go to a movie or if they go to a concert or a nightclub or even go to church. And so I'm rooting for them, and I hope that they continue to speak truth to power and don't give up, because that's the only way things are going to change. We need to maintain this pressure. We need to sustain it, and we need to hold elected officials at the state and at the federal level accountable if they don't do anything.
Jim McGovern, do you think that this could either help or hurt Republicans who are running for office?
Well, let me put it to you this way. I mean, and I should say this at the outset. By the way, the problem with sensible gun control has not just been Republicans. There have been a lot of Democrats that have been problems as well. I think if people don't see the wisdom in trying to bring some sensible controls into place, I think that it could potentially hurt them in their election campaign, and it should. I mean, the bottom line is this is crazy, and we're the only country, industrialized country in the world, that has massacres on a regular basis. And you know, and yes, we can talk about the importance of investing more in dealing with the issue of mental illness. You know, although we should point out that the majority of people who have mental illnesses are not dangerous. But we could talk about that, doing that better. We could talk about more support for our local law enforcement. But at the end of the day, it's guns that need to be debated, because that's, you know, we have people who deal with mental illnesses in Canada and in England and in France, and you know, we have underfunded law enforcement in those places as well, and yet they don't have these massacres. And the reason why is because, you know, in this country, it is very easy to get access to a military-style weapon that has been built and designed to kill people. And we need to decide whether we want that to continue or whether we want to put an end to it.
So, Jim, we have a huge number of people who have checked in via the polls saying, we got to do what you're saying. And yet the NRA's power is so great that there's no movement of the dial. I'm wondering, what is that power?
Well, I mean, they invest lots of money in the campaign. I think they spent $30 million or so just on the presidential campaign. But they spend, you know, lots of money on congressional races. So that's part of it. But the other part of it is that, you know, they kind of whip up their members, you know, into believing that any time you talk about, you know, expanding background checks, that somehow that means that, you know, that's the camel's nose under the tent, and federal agents are going to show up at everybody's house who owns a gun and take their guns away. I mean, the NRA has been very good about fear mongering and about, behaving like demagogues. And they've gotten a lot of their members to be single issue voters. And this is the only thing that matters to them. And so it's the money and it's the intensity of some of their members that scare a lot of members of Congress. You know, I talked to one of my colleagues a couple of weeks ago about this, and he just kind of said, look, you know, I get it. I want to. This is a guy who traditionally votes with the NRA. He says, I get it. The NRA is wrong on this. You know, I just don't want to lose my election over this. And I said, but I'd rather lose an election than lose a child, because that's what's happening right now. I get it. We all want to get reelected, but God, at some point, you know, there are these moments that you just have to take a stand, because it's the right thing to do. And you know, letting the NRA get away with bullying everybody into doing nothing, I mean, that just has to stop. I mean, I don't know how you can. you know, look at these young people who lost their friends. And I could look at them in the eye and say, I hear you, I feel bad for you, but we're not going to do anything. And all Congress usually, all Congress does is we have a moment of silence, and that's it. I mean, Mitch McConnell said he doesn't want to schedule anything, and Paul Ryan says he doesn't want to schedule anything, and President Trump, I mean, you know, he at one point I said, well, maybe he gets this because he was talking about the need to take action, but then he met with the NRA, and the next day he it looks like he backed down on everything. So if this is not going to be business as usual, we're counting on these young people to not give up, and to hold elected officials accountable. And by the way, you know, I also agree with their demand that nobody at the state or federal level ought to be taking money from the National Rifle Association for their political campaigns at this point, because at this stage, that's blood money. Because the NRA is preventing anything meaningful from happening.
Do you know your rating? Your NRA rating?
I don't know what it is. It must be an F or an F minus.
Or zero.
Zero.
Do those ratings count? Do people really check in on what rating this group or that group gives you?
Look, you got some people here who are obsessed with ratings. And so, look, for me, I mean, ratings are, you know, I try to look at things based on what, you know, whether I think they're right or wrong. So ratings are not what I'm obsessed with, but for some people it is. And, you know, if I think with the National Rifle Association, you have to have a certain percentage, you know, if you're eligible for their money and for their political advocacy. But this is, we're at a point now where, you know, we have to ask ourselves whether or not we want this to be the normal. And what I'm hearing from these young people is that they don't want this to be the normal. They don't want to live in a condition where, you know, they have to worry about being shot no matter where they go. I mean, these kids who went to school didn't put themselves in danger any more than the people who went to church or to the concert or to a nightclub put themselves in danger. But yet, this is where these attacks are happening, and this is not by foreign adversaries. It's by people in this country who can get easy access to a gun and a weapon of war in particular, commit these terrible crimes. And it also is a little bit frustrating that in some states in this country, it is easier to get a gun than it is to register to vote. I mean, you know, again, we need to have some common sense here and some sanity, and so there's going to be a big march down here with a lot of these students from Florida and across the country here in Washington, and I'm looking forward to that because I think that will kind of sustain this momentum and hopefully build more pressure on elected officials to do something. And I don't want to wait till the next election. I want to do something now.
You know, we have no time left, but it always occurs to me that it's against the law to take a bribe. Public officials aren't supposed to do that. But when the NRA gives out this kind of money, or anybody else, it seems to me, there's a certain amount of that going on.
Which is one of the reasons why we need to do something about campaign finance reform, why we need a Supreme Court that will, you know, not rule it unconstitutional if we limit how much people can spend in campaigns. And if we can't get that, we ought to be talking about a constitutional amendment because, you know, look, there's too much money involved in politics. It's corrupting. It's a corrupting influence. And this is an example of it being a corrupting influence.
Always wonderful to talk to Jim McGovern, Massachusetts 2nd District, right next door to the 1st District where I live. It's always great to talk to you, Jim. And when we come back the next time, I want to know about whether we should arm our teachers.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.